Good morning. Great day in the house of God, man. Anytime people get baptized, I mean, it is so great because we are a community of miracles, right? I mean, look at your pastor. Woo! God's got a sense of humor. And I mean, it's beautiful. And you know what else? Just the sovereignty and the wisdom of God for us to be, because we're going verse by verse, right? Chapter by chapter, just to where we are today in the Gospel of John. I mean, God's timing is perfect. Amen. So we return to the Gospel of John. Let's pray first. Father God, I thank you for your word. Thank you for the beautiful people that have decided to be here today. God, and I pray for an anointing to preach and an anointing for them to hear. I thank you that your presence is here with us. Let your scriptures come alive and minister to our hearts and our minds, God. And may it all bring glory to your name. In the mighty name of Jesus we pray. Amen. So we're returning to the Gospel of John where we left off before Easter. To summarize our progress so far, we must first address the fact that this gospel is different from Matthew, Mark, and Luke. Those are the synoptic gospels. The synoptic gospels account for the history and the life and ministry of Jesus Christ, while John's gospel is both apologetic and evangelistic, and I'll explain that. John introduces us to who Jesus Christ is. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He also says the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Jesus Christ, Son of God, Son of Man, infinite, sinless, and holy. Even in the accounts of the ministry of Christ that John shares with us, it's done to prove that Jesus Christ is the Messiah that fulfills the law of the Old Testament. And that's what being apologetic is the proof that Jesus is who he says he is. So that, and this is the evangelistic part, all who read this gospel will believe, and by believing may have life in his name. That's the ultimate goal of the Apostle John in this gospel. His introduction ends and he introduces John the Baptist to us. John the Baptist is the voice in the wilderness declaring, "Make straight the way for the Lord." He baptized people in water for repentance of sin, getting their hearts ready to receive the coming Messiah. In today's portion of scripture, we are in a four-day consecutive account. The first day, and we went over this a couple weeks ago, we went over the first 2 days. Today we're going to be in the last 2 days. So the first day, John the Baptist announced the imminent revelation of the Messiah. He is here. The second day, John the Baptist identified Jesus as the Messiah by giving his testimony of when he baptized Jesus. "I saw the Spirit come down from heaven and remain on him. The Father told me he is the one who will baptize with the Holy Spirit." The Father told John the Baptist, "The one in whom you baptize, you see the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit." There, check, 1, 2. Are you going to give me a new mic? Well, so I guess I'll just, whatever. Should I turn this off then? Okay. Not today, Satan. I'm preaching anyway. So, the Lord told John the Baptist, "The one you see the Spirit rest on, that is my only begotten Son. He is the one He is the one that he is the Messiah, the one that's been prophesied about. He's come to take away the sins of the world. And so John sees this and he testifies to it. So that brings us to the third day in this account. And how do we know? Well, let's look at verse 35. The next day. I know I'm such a theologian, right? Digging into the scriptures. The next day, John was there again with two of his disciples. When he saw Jesus passing by, he said, "Look, the Lamb of God." Some versions say, "Behold." It's an exclamation. He's not just saying it casually. He's shouting it. "Look, the Lamb of God." When the two disciples heard him say this, they followed Jesus. See, this is a perfect example of what a good preacher does. Don't look at me, look at him. Don't look at me, look at Jesus. And this is exactly what John the Baptist does. And he was a popular preacher, okay? He's a humble preacher. You know, he has one job, point people towards the Messiah. One job, make straight the way for the Lord. Prepare your hearts to receive Jesus. And he does that. And when it's time for his ministry to be over, he obeys. Hey, look at Christ. Don't look at me, look at Christ. To his own disciples. Verse 38, turning around, Jesus saw them following. So there's two disciples following him. And he asked, "What do you want?" Some versions say, "What do you seek?" And they said, "Rabbi," which means teacher, "where are you staying?" So notice how Jesus asks them, "What do you want?" And this is a question that rings out to this day to us. What do you want? What did you come here today for? Now I get it. We will go to church for many different reasons. Struggling with addiction, having trouble in relationships, you know, just initially feeling lost in whatever we got going on with our life when we know there's got to be another way. Hey, let's go try church. That's very, very common. But Jesus turns to them and says, "What do you want?" And they answer correctly. They say, "Rabbi, where are you staying?" Like, what? We want you. And that's the answer, guys. You can come here for many different reasons, but the one that should hold true, the one that's gonna bring you the most fruit and the greatest transformation of salvation is to seek Jesus. And what did John initially start with? The Word became flesh. The Word was with God and the Word was God. And the Word became flesh. That means this, that the very nature, the very essence of God was born into this world through the person of Jesus Christ. But that he is like the scriptures, the Holy Spirit that guided every author in the book, in these books in the Bible, was led by the Spirit of God. So his voice is in here. His character is in here. You want to know God, you'll know scripture. No scripture is to know God. And so whatever brought us here initially, I'm just giving you a spoiler alert. Seek Jesus. He is the prize. To know him is to know freedom. To know him is to know salvation. To know him is to know what actually a healthy relationship with a living God looks like. To know him is to be able to be authentically yourself and walk with him. And that, my friends, can be messy sometimes. That's what I love about this church. We wear it on our sleeve. We ain't faking nothing around here. We're sinners saved by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. So these disciples answered correctly. And like, hey, wherever you're going, that's where we want to be, Jesus. And here's what Jesus says in verse 39. Come, and you will see. So they went and saw where he was staying, and they spent the day with him. It was about 4 o'clock in the afternoon. So see, we see Jesus being faithful. Hey, where are you staying at? Well, you know, I'm staying over here. And if you want, you got to make an appointment. I can probably see you tomorrow or the next day. No, he says, come. Jesus will explain later on in this gospel, knock and the door shall be open. Seek and you shall find. You want to find God? You seek, you reach out, you will find him. And when I say that, because we will see later on that these disciples also say, we found God. We found him. The truth is, we didn't find God. He's always had us. He's always had us in his mind before the foundation of the world. He found us. Amen. Yeah. It is, but it's natural for us to say, hey man, I found Jesus and wow. But he says, come. And so they spent the afternoon with him. Look, these guys were like, they were grilling him. So, tell us about yourself, you know, how, like, share how you're the Son of God, share, you know, tell us about your life, tell us about, you know, tell us all of it. They're, you know, they spent the day with him just listening to him teach and you know, share who he is and I'm sure who they are, because Jesus knows us on the inside and out, and we will see that. But they question him all day long. And that's good for us to hear. You got questions for God? Ask him. You may not answer him like you think he's gonna, but ask him. And I mean, if you're mad at him, he's big enough. Go to him. That's what an authentic walk with God is. Like, he already knows our hearts. He already knows what's going on in our minds. If you got something to say to him, say it. He's big and he's mighty. So verse 40, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, was one of the two who heard what John had to say and who had followed Jesus. So we see here that we know Andrew, who's Simon Peter's brother, was one of the two who heard what John the Baptist had said and who had followed Jesus. So we know this about John, the Apostle John. The Apostle John never mentions his name in this gospel. He's the disciple in whom Jesus loved. He's the other disciple. So we know this. Andrew and the Apostle John, not John the Baptist, but the Apostle John, are, first of all, they were two of John the Baptist's disciples. They were John the Baptist's disciples first, and two, they are the first two disciples to walk with Jesus. These two were the first ones to follow him, to ask him questions. Verse 41, the first thing Andrew did after spending time with Jesus was what? To find his brother Simon. And tell him, we have found the Messiah. That is the Christ. First thing you do when you get born again, man, is like, look, man, I met Jesus. My life is, especially when you've been forgiven of as much sin as I've been forgiven, you know, when you're like, man, and I say this with love, but I was a satanic, idol-worshiping, pagan scumbag. And Jesus came into my life, renewed my mind, regenerated my heart, and changed me. He changed me, and it's like, I gotta tell somebody. I gotta tell my family. I gotta tell my friends. I gotta tell people that God is real, because I deserved hell. And he saw something else and he made a way where there was no way. Like I should be dead or in prison. And he's like, no, you're going to be a pastor. I wanted to be a rock star, you know? That was my brilliant idea. He's like, nah, you enjoy the clapping too much, Jonesy. Listen, and he knew what was best for me. Because I'll tell you what, this is the best job I've ever had. It's being your pastor, best job I've ever had. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for not answering those prayers. Make me a rock star. He laughed. You couldn't handle it. And he's right. He saved me from myself, just like you. Just like you. And so Andrew goes and gets his brother. And you've got to remember, they're flipping out. It's been 400 years since God spoke to these people. And here comes John the Baptist. And then here comes Jesus. It's like, dude, he's here. He's here. He's here. We found him, right? We found him. We found him. We found him. Verse 42, and he brought him to Jesus. Jesus looked at him and he said, you are Simon, son of John. You will be called Cephas, which is translated Peter. So Cephas is Aramaic and translated to Greek is Peter, Petros. So both Cephas and Petros mean rock. So Jesus sees Simon, said, I know you. I know your past. I know where you come from. And I'm speaking to your future. I see you. You will be called the rock. Because even though you're a sinner, Pete, even though you will deny me three times after walking with me for 3 years, watching all the miracles, transfiguring on the mountain with James and John, showing him his glory, he denied him three times. And yet Jesus knows that that faithful day in Pentecost, when he sends his Holy Spirit to clothe them in power to preach the gospel, Pete gets up and preaches boldly, and the church grows by the thousands. God already knows our future. He looks at you and he goes, I know you. I know everything that's happened in your life. I know all the hurts you got. I know all the childhood trauma that you have worked through or need to work through. I know all the broken relationships. I know all the lies. I know what people did to you to kind of that shaped who you are today. And I look at you and I give you a new name, child. Old things have passed away and all things have become new. You are my kid and your past does not define you. I have a future for you, says the Lord, and it's good. Hallelujah. So we go into the fourth day, and how do we know that? Verse 43. The next day, Jesus decided to leave for Galilee. Finding Philip, he said to him, follow me. Philip, like Andrew and Peter, was from the town of Bethsaida. So we see that Jesus he's on a mission. He's like, we need to go to Galilee. I have a wedding to be at, where I shall turn water into wine. And he doesn't ask Philip any questions. He says, follow me. And in that statement of follow me, and he will explain this later on himself in his gospel, it's deny yourself, pick up your cross, and follow me. Count the cost of what it's going to take to follow me. And it will cost you, friend. Because to follow Christ means you no longer live life for yourself. Your ego has to die on that thing, just like your Savior died for you. It will cost you. You don't live life like you used to. You live life to glorify God. And there, it will be messy. It will be a battle, but you must engage because you're a child of God. And he's saying, count the cost, Philip. And another thing is they're all from the same little town of Bethsaida. These guys are blue collar. Jesus didn't go after the religious elite like they all thought. Our Messiah will be the king and he'll destroy Rome and he'll make our lives better now. No. The Messiah is the king, yes. But he came to seek and save the lost. He came to build his kingdom that is not of this world. And so he came for the least, the last, the lost, the broken, and the humble. The blue collar, man. He came for us normal people, not normal. He came for us that aren't grandiose. We have no royalty. There is no status. But we are beloved. We are beloved by the Most High. That should be the part of that, our identity you always hold on to. You might not be rich with money or the things of this world, cars, houses, fame and fortune, but you have Jesus. God saw you at your worst and said, they're mine. They're mine. I will bring them to a saving faith. I will give them life. And they will, and even though our physical life has its battles and its, you know, amazing times, mountaintops and valleys, right? It's all over the place. God says that someday you and I will be together, not sick, not sad, no more lying, no more hate. Hallelujah. There will come a time, and it's coming soon, by the way. I'm going to be double nickels this year, 55. I used to think 65 was old. Now I'm like, it ain't that old. 75 ain't that old. 85 ain't that old. But it's why the older you get, the faster it goes. Just letting you guys, you youngsters know out there. The older you get, the faster it goes. Praise God. But we will be together someday and it'll be perfect. And that is the hope that we always hold on. That's where you need to hold your identity. I'm a child of God. No matter where, you know, what's going on in this world or where I'm at, I'm a child of God. And that makes me important to him. Amen? That's enough. That's enough. You are enough in him. Verse 45. Philip found Nathanael and told him, we found the one Moses wrote about in the law and about whom the prophets also wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. So here's Philip's testimony to Nathanael that he is the God man. He is from God. It's who Moses and the law and the prophets, the Torah prophesied about. He's come. And his name is Jesus from Nazareth. He's a person too. He's a God man. And Nathanael replies, Nazareth? Can anything good come out of there? Like Nazareth's ghetto, bro. Listen, he gives a perfect answer. Come and see. I want you to know something. There's people in your life that look at you and all they see is your past. And they say, can anything good come out of Chris Jones? I tell you, come and see. Come and see. Can anything good come out of his place, church? Come and see. Come and see. Yeah, we're ragtag. We come from all walks of life around here. But we're following Jesus authentically. We're following Jesus in repentance and love and truth, the Spirit and in truth. And we do. We wear it on our sleeve because we know we're sinners saved by grace through faith in Christ. So come and see. Come and see. That's all you got to say. Come and see, baby. Verse 47, when Jesus saw Nathanael approaching, he said to him, here truly is an Israelite in whom there's no deceit. He sees his heart and he goes, oh, you're not like a lot of these Jews. You're really a Jew. Like Paul said in Romans, a real Jew is one that's circumcised in the heart. A real Christ follower, we have been circumcised in our hearts. We don't just say we're Christians and live however we want to live. We really have been born again and rejuvenated and regenerated by God himself. And Jesus sees this in him and says, this is a man with no guile, no deceit. He's not double-tongued. He is really, really walking with God. And he asked Jesus in verse 48, how do you know me? And Jesus answered, I saw you while you were still under the tree before the fig tree before Philip called you. And Nathanael declared, Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel. You saw me? He says, yeah, I saw you way before you saw me. And that's what happens, guys. He's always had us on his mind. He has been with us through the thick and the thin of it. He has watched us and kept us. It's why you're in this room right now. Some of you are like, man, I never thought I'd be sitting in a church today. Amen. I never thought I'd be preaching in a church today. But here we are because God's in control. Praise God. Hallelujah. And Jesus said to him in verse 50, you believe because I told you I saw you under the fig tree, but you will see greater things than these. And then he added, very truly I tell you, and this means, I mean this, you will see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man. And when he says, very truly I tell you, it's a plural. So he's talking to Nathanael and now he's speaking to the disciples around. Very truly I tell you that you will see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. He is borrowing and using Jacob's dream in Genesis 28. When Jacob had a dream in which he saw a stairway resting on the earth with its top reaching to the heavens. And the angels of God were ascending and descending. He says, I'm that staircase. And you will see miracles. You will see people being raised from the dead. You will see the sick healed, the blind see. That's what he's saying. Oh, get ready. You will see a lot more than just me knowing your past and knowing you. You will see miracles. And I testify to this, that I'm sitting in a room full of miracles. There is that God still heals. He still heals relationships. He heals our messed up minds. He heals our bodies. He heals our thought life, which can be the most dangerous thing in any of us. He heals us. We're miracles, you guys. Just like we're going to see as we go through the Gospel of John. We can apply this to the here and now. Jesus still heals. Jesus is still Lord. And Jesus is still God in control. Amen? So listen, as I invite the band up. Band! We're doing baptisms today. Okay, hallelujah. In his obedience, Jesus was baptized, not because he had to be baptized for repentance, to fulfill all righteousness. And so, Jesus, what do we want to do? We want to walk like him. We want to do what he does. In our obedience, we are baptized. And what we state is it's a public declaration. It's saying, you know what? In front of everybody, I want everybody to know that what God has done in my heart is he has buried my past. Now when my past comes up to try to kill me and get me to do weird stuff like self-loathing, hurting my own life, hurting others,
I tell that demonic thought, whatever you want to call it, I buried that man. That man is buried in the water. And you come out of that water into the resurrected life of Jesus Christ, telling everybody, I no longer live my life for me. I live it with him, for him, to glorify him. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Real quick, just in case, it's a very evangelistic message today. So if it spoke to anybody in this room that you've never given your life to Jesus Christ, raise your hand and we'll pray today. Anyone? Okay. All right. Just making sure. Oh, I see your hand. Praise God. Hallelujah, sister. Let's pray this prayer together. Let's pray together. Father God in heaven, thank you for your son Jesus. I'm a sinner and I need a savior. So I ask you, come into my heart, come into my life and change me. I ask you to fill me with your Holy Spirit and make your word come alive. I thank you for your forgiveness and I repent from my sin. And I turn to you. Today, I'm yours and you are mine. In Jesus' name, amen. Love you, sister. Love you. All right. We're going to go get changed. We're going to baptize some people in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Come on, I hope we all stand. Let's celebrate.
To hide this weary soul, this bag of bones. I try with all my might, but I just can't win the fight. I'm slowly drifting, a bag of bones. Just when I
afraid. Get up, get up, get up, get up. Come on, church, we sing it again. Get up, get up, get up, get up out of that grave. Get up, get up, get up, get up out of that grave. Get up, get up, get up, get up out of that grave. Get up, get up, get up, get up out of that grave.
Check, check, 1, 2, 1, 2, check.
Can you hear?
Yeah, good. All right. Well, we'll start baptisms. You want to say anything, brother?
Just why you came to the church and what you're doing today.
Hello, everybody. My name is Alex, and my whole life journey has been a miracle, and the fact that I'm here alone is a miracle. I'm just blessed and grateful to be here on a special day, and and do this. I'm excited, man.
Hallelujah. So are we. So are we.
My name, my first time being baptized.
Oh, awesome. Yeah. What brings you to the church?
This is what I need to. I'm nervous.
That's okay. All right. Well, I'll tell you what. Come on over here.
Okay. Thank you.
Is Jesus Christ your Lord and Savior?
Yes.
All right, then by profession of your faith, we now baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
For moral support, so I've gotten baptized before. We've been to this church for about 14 years. She's been here the whole life, so I'm here for moral support.
Amen. You want to say anything?
My name's Olivia Luna, and I want Jesus Christ to be my Lord and Savior.
Amen. Well, He is.
Go this way.
By your profession of faith, we now baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Jesus Christ is the only, the way, the truth, and the life. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior, correct?
Marley Rose. Marley was dedicated at this church 6 years ago, and now she's made the decision herself to make her public declaration to show that she has given her heart and her soul to Jesus Christ.
My name is Aaron. So about 4 years ago, I was deep in addiction, and I was homeless, and life felt hopeless, but God found me when I was at my lowest, and I have been restored, and I accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior.
Hallelujah!
My name is Dakota. I've been battling since I was 15 with addiction, and I've just been through a lot of struggles the last 10 years, and I've been struggling with my faith, and especially the last 2 years, but I've really come to find God, and He's got me through on the other side, and I'm just grateful to be alive and thank Him every single day. So.
Amen. You're a miracle, brother.
Sevilla, Spain. Today, I'm getting baptized as my own decision and commitment to him, and I'm so thankful for everything he's done in my life and everything still to come, and I give him all the glory.
Amen. And thank you to everyone here, and thank you to the Lord.
Amen. What's your name, brother?
Oh, my name's Tom Hansen.
Tom Hansen.
Yeah.
This community through our church in the park. They've been watching us on the big screen in the park, and they've come to get baptized today with us. Hallelujah.
God is good, God is great, God is almighty, and I'm glad he led me here today. Amen. Amen.
Who's king? Who's king?
God is the prayer. He's the king, and he made us. Thank you, God, for making us. I amen.
Amen. Good job.
By your profession of faith, we now baptize you in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Hallelujah.
after miracle after miracle his place. I love you so much. You are truly a blessing to do life with, to walk with Jesus with. And I love you so much. God, shine your face upon your people as they go. I thank you that we are the light and the salt of this world, God. Let your anointing and your love just emanate off your people. Every room that they enter, God, I thank you that your peace, Jesus, and your anointing will be with them. So I thank you for them, and I pray a blessing over them in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Love you. We have lunch outside. Let's fellowship.